Okay, boys and girls, mums and dads, great to see you all here. Just before we start, well, first of all, you have to get used to the fact that I speak real English, so you've got to listen carefully. But I have a number of rules, okay? Rule number one is you don't speak while I'm speaking unless I ask you to. And rule number two is you don't speak while I'm speaking unless I ask you to. And rule number three is you don't speak while I'm speaking unless I ask you to. And rule number four is don't drop anything on the floor. Rule number five is don't drop anything on the floor. What's rule number six? Excellent. Rule number seven, if you need to go to the bathroom, you don't. But if you're about to explode in a danger to the people around you, then you can ask your parent or teacher to accompany you to the bathroom. But I'm sure that most of you can wait to right to the end. And the other thing is, boys and girls, there are times I'm going to ask you to call out. We don't want you to scream, but you can call out in a nice loud way. And then there are times when I'm going to ask you to put your hands up. In fact, put your hands up real quickly. No, that's far too slow. Let's try it again. Put your hands up real quickly. It's still a little slow. We'll try it one more time. Put your hands up. No, not yet. I haven't said yet. Put your hands up now. Okay, that's good. Right. Everybody nice and quiet. Shh. We're nice and quiet. Just as we get underway here, just to get you used to me speaking, and this is for mums and dads and teachers. And by the way, put your hands up if you're from homeschool. Not all the homeschoolers. That's great. Put your hand up if you come out of public school for the day. That's really great. And put your hand up if you're from Christian schools. Great. Well, put your hands down. Well, I hope that all of you at some stage can, within a one-day drive of here, it's just a long day, about 11 hours, you can drive to the Creation Museum in the greater Cincinnati area. There is nothing else like it in the whole world, actually. And it's 75,000 square feet with animatronic dinosaurs, animatronic people, live animal displays, a planetarium where you can sit back and go into outer space, a special effects theater like Universal Studios where the seats blow air and water and vibrate and things like that. And then you walk through the whole Bible, helping you understand the Bible's history is true. And you'll see Adam and Eve, and you'll see the dinosaurs, and you'll walk through a section of Noah's Ark. And it takes you at least a whole day for mums, dads, and teachers. A lot of people spend 2 days. And then through the Tower of Babel, and then the message about Jesus on the cross is presented in a very special way. And then we also have a two-story dinosaur exhibit and a Dragon Hall bookstore and beautiful gardens, picnic areas, and also our petting zoo, which has lots of unique sorts of animals, as you will see there. All right. Well, I hope that mums and dads can make the trip, or maybe teachers take your students as groups or something like that to the Creation Museum. Okay, boys and girls, put your hand up if you've heard of the word evolution. Oh, yeah, hands down. Put your hand up if you've heard that people evolved from ape-like creatures. Okay, put your hand up if you've heard that dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. Hands down. Well, you know what? Everyone quiet, remember, while I'm speaking. Well, you know what? I don't believe in evolution. Evolution is the idea some people have. They believe that life evolved over millions of years and that we came from some sort of pond scum millions of years ago. I don't believe that dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. In fact, this is a dinosaur at the Indianapolis Children's Museum and all the signs say millions of years. And I don't believe that ape-like creatures turned into people. I mean, How can we believe that life came about by chance, random processes? I mean, did you come here in here, look at this building, like here's another church that I was at recently, and we're looking at that church, and we said, you know how that church got there? Well, somebody put a whole load of bricks, and then they put some dynamite under it. There was an explosion, and look what happened. Do you think that happened? No. There's no way. And you know what, boys and girls? Your brain is much more complicated than this building. If somebody had to build this building, someone with intelligence, do you think someone more intelligent than that had to make you, human beings, had to make life? Absolutely. And I believe that to be the God of the Bible. I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe that... whoops. Oh, there's your grandfather. Does your grandmother look like that? I don't think so. I tell you what, here's what I want you to do. Everyone put their hands in the air. Can you do that? Put your hands in the air. Now touch your fingers with your thumb. Now do the same with your big toe and little toes. Can you do that? I hope not, because if you can, you shouldn't be here. Because I want you to have a look here on the screen, and here's your foot, right? But here's a chimp's foot, but it doesn't look like a foot. It looks like what? A hand. It's designed to do what it does, and you're designed to do what you do, and you don't do what it does, and it doesn't do what you do. In fact, here's a man, he's talking to a chimp, and he says, I can think, compose music, build bridges, make aeroplanes, and make computers, and so on. What can you do? And all he can do is think about what? A banana. That's right. You know what, boys and girls? I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe we came from chimps. I believe what the Bible tells us. In fact, you know, the Bible is a very unique book. There is no other book like this in the whole universe. And the Bible is a book that tells us who we are, where we came from. It tells us about the God of the universe. In fact, you know what the Bible really is? I call the Bible this. I call it the history book of the universe. Can you say that with me? The history book of the universe. Let's say it one more time. The history book of the universe. And here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to have fun because this is the real history book that tells us who we are, where we came from, where the universe came from, why we're here. And what I did recently, I wrote a book called Dinosaurs for Kids, in which I went through the whole history in the Bible to help us understand all about the universe, but with a special emphasis on dinosaurs. And as I did that, this is what I came up with. Who's heard of the age of dinosaurs, supposedly 65 million years to 200 million years ago? Well, you know what, boys and girls? I don't believe in an age of dinosaurs. I believe in seven ages of dinosaurs. How's that? And we're going to go through them, and you're going to learn them this morning, okay? Age number one is formed. So say that, formed. Age number two is fearless. Age number three, fallen. Age number four, flood. Age number five, faded. Six, found. And seven, fiction. We live in the age of fiction today. You know what fiction means? Something's not true. We're told a lot of things that are not true today, such as evolution, millions of years, that dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. When people tell us that, it's fiction. It is not true. And so, boys and girls, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the Bible and we're going to go through those seven ages of dinosaurs. And I want to make sure that you know them all by the end of this morning's session. Okay? So we come to age number one. What was age number one again? Formed. When did God form dinosaurs? Well, you know, the Bible starts off by telling us that God made everything in 6 days and then he rested for one day. By the way, stop right there for a moment. Put your hand up if at your house you have a 12-day week. Anyone have a 12-day week? No, I don't think so. Does anyone have a 13-day week? Does anyone have a 7-day week? Oh, that's interesting. Why do you have a 7-day week? Do you know there's only one reason in the entire universe? And you know what it is? God made everything in 6 days and rested for one. And 6 plus 1 equals what? 7. Can you imagine if you had a millions of years week and you can say, oh, I'm in the millions of years rest now, because if God made everything in 6 millions of years and rested for millions of years, if I'm in the millions of years rest, I don't have to do any homework. You think your teachers would accept that? No, I don't think so. Well, you know what? The very fact that we have a 7-day week tells us that the Bible is true, because that's where the 7-day week comes from. And then God tells us what he did on each of those 6 days of creation. He made the earth on day one, on day two, the atmosphere, day three, the dry land and the plants, day four, the sun, moon and stars, day five, the flying creatures and the sea creatures, day six, he made the land animals and he made the first two people. What were their names? Adam and Eve. And do you know how he made the land animals? This is how he made the land animals. He said, let the earth bring forth the animals. Do you know how he made the first man? He said, let us make man in our image. And you know, I wanted to say that to you because, boys and girls, what we're told today by a lot of people in the world is that we're just a special type of animal. And I want you to say after me, I am not just an animal. Can you say that? I am not just an animal. You may have a body that looks like a mammal's body, but you're made in the image of God. And you are made in a different way to the animals. And mum, dads and teachers, I know some of our textbooks have man in the animal kingdom. Really, man should be out separate because we're different. We're made in the image of God. We're separate to the animal kingdom. But when God made the animals, you know, he made a lot of special animals, and the best ones ended up in Australia. You all know that, don't you? For instance, what's the name of that one? Oh, I know that every American boy and girl wants to go to Australia to cuddle a koala. I tell people that one of the best-kept secrets in Australia is that in the wild they're smelly, flea-bitten varmints that rip your eyeballs out. But I don't tell too many people about that, really. And you know, the koala is a marsupial. Here's another marsupial. What's the name of that one? Marsupials are fascinating creatures. You actually have a marsupial that lives here in North America. It's called the opossum. And a marsupial has a pouch. And the young jump in the pouch. But you know, when I look at the kangaroo, I could never think about evolution. Evolution by chance, random processes, that doesn't make sense. You know, when the young are born, they're about half an inch long and they look like a little red jelly bean that has a mouth and two legs, and it knows where to go, what to do and how to do it, and it crawls up its mother's pouch and knows where to go, what to do and how to do it, crawls into its mother's pouch, knows where to go, what to do and how to do it, attaches itself to its mother to get its milk to develop from there. Do you think it learnt that by chance random processes over millions of years? No. Who thinks it's designed that way? Think it's designed that way? You know what I used to say to my children? It's designed to do what it does do, and what it does do very well, doesn't it? Don't you think? They thought it did. I did too. Hope you do. We have a great time as we talk about those sorts of animals. Well, here's another creature that God made. It's called the wombat. Can you say wombat?
Wombat.
Now, the wombat is a marsupial, but you know what, boys and girls? I've had evolutionists say to me, now wait a minute, a wombat has a pouch, but the pouch faces backwards and the young jump in at the rear end. Why would, if there's a God, why would he design it with a pouch facing backwards? That doesn't make sense. Actually, it makes a lot of sense. You know why? Because a wombat tunnels under the ground. Can you imagine what would happen with a wombat if its pouch faced forwards? It would fill up with dirt and you get fossilized wombats, wouldn't you? Real quickly. You know what I said to my kids? It's designed to do what it does do, and what it does do very well, doesn't it? Don't you think? I think it does, don't you? I do. Hope you do. Well, we have a great time talking about the wombat. But here's my favorite animal of all time. What's its name? Oh, the platypus. You know when they first discovered the platypus, everyone quiet, shh. When they first discovered the platypus in 1797 in Australia, they sent it back to England, and the scientists at the museum in England thought somebody had got these different animals, cut them all up, and then stitched them all together. And you know why? Because here comes an animal that has a bill like a duck and a beaver-like tail and hair like a bear, web feet like an otter, claws like a reptile, lays eggs like a turtle, feeds its young on milk like a mammal, has spurs like a rooster and poison like a snake. Boy, if it evolved, it evolved from everything, didn't it? Do you know what I say to my kids? It's designed to do what it does do, and what it does do well, doesn't it? Yes, it does. I think it does do you. I do hope you do too, do you? Well, we have a great time talking about all those animals. By the way, do you know what happened? Whenever an evolutionist looks at the platypus, I think God smiles. You know why? I think he made it just for them. That's why it's my favorite animal. But boys and girls, I want to teach you this morning. So when we see the design in animals, I want us to be able to say this. So let's say it together. Are you ready? It's designed to do what it does do, what it does do. It does do well, doesn't it? Yes, it does. I think it does. Do you? I do. Hope you do too, do you? Did you get that? Okay, we're going to do it again a little faster. Okay. Are you ready? Shh. Here we go. It's designed to do what it does do, what it does do. It does do well, doesn't it? Yes, it does. I think it does. Do you? I do. Hope you do too, do you? That was pretty bad. Okay, we're going to do it one more time. This time we're going to go a lot faster. Are we ready? Right, sit up. Everyone quiet. One, two, three. It's designed to do, what it does do. It does do well, doesn't it? Yes, it does. I think it does. Do you? I do. Hope you do too, do you? Oh, that sounded like a lot of chickens scratching around in a coop. Anyway, boys and girls, hey, when I look at those animals, I don't think of evolution. I certainly think of creation. Well, when God made Adam and then he made the animals, you know what he did? He brought the animals to Adam and he asked Adam to name them. You can imagine him saying, oh, Dodo, that's a great name. Oh, bear, that's another great name. Actually, we don't know the names that Adam used because we don't even know really what language he used. But here he is naming the animals. But as he looked around, he noticed something. There's male and female deer and male and female dodo, male and female chimp. Where's Mrs. Adam? You know what the Bible says? There was no one that looked like him. I mean, he didn't look at a female chimp and say, oh, she's close enough, I'll date her, or something like that, did he? There's no way man evolved from the apes or anything like that because he recognized none of them were like him. So do you know what God did? God wanted him to understand he was alone, so he put him to sleep, and out of his side he made the first woman. And the first word Adam said was, wow. Well, anyway, that's Australian for bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. But boys and girls, when you look at that, Let's go back here again. Let's just go back for a moment and look at this. What's this animal there? A dinosaur. That's interesting. And what are these up here? Dinosaurs. And what about this one down here? Mr. Ham, are you saying that God made dinosaurs alongside of Adam and Eve? Well, if God made all the land animals on day six and he made Adam and Eve on day six, dinosaurs were land animals, then dinosaurs must have lived alongside of Adam and Eve. And I can prove that to you. I have a photograph that Eve took back then. As you can see, standing beside T-Rex. You can imagine if there was a newspaper in the Garden of Eden. Dinosaurs made on 6 day. Read all about it. Dinosaurs made on 6 day. And here they are, Adam and Eve and the dinosaurs all living happily together. And then our boys and girls would say, Mr. Ham, wait a minute. How long ago was that? Well, when you add up all the dates, it comes to about 6,000 years. 6,000 years, but what about the scientists that say millions of years? Well, I want to teach you something that I've been teaching boys and girls all across the world for the last 30 years, and it's something they never forget. It comes from the book of Job, Job chapter 38 and verse 4, where God was speaking to Job, and he said, Job, where were you when I made the earth? And I want you to remember this. The next time somebody says millions of years ago, you put your hand up and say, excuse me, were you there? Can you remember that? Next time somebody says, and you've got to say it in a very polite way, obviously, but next time somebody says millions of years ago, what's the question you ask? Were you there? You know, I've had boys and girls come to me and say, Mr. Ham, we asked an evolutionist, were you there? And they came back and said, no, we weren't, but you weren't either. What do we say now? And I said, oh, here's what you say. No, I wasn't there, but I know someone who was, and I have his word. I've got the history book of the universe. Are you interested? Can you remember that? Hey, let me ask you a question. Has any human being always been there, yes or no? No. Does any human being know everything? No. Does any scientist know everything? No. Has any scientist always been there? No. Who's always been there? God. Who knows everything? God. So who should you always trust first, God or a scientist? And I want you to remember that. Always trust God's words first. Always do that. Well, boys and girls, you know, I was looking at this audience and I thought to myself, you know, they're wonderful looking boys and girls, but they're just not as intelligent as Australian boys and girls. Do you agree with that? You don't? Oh, look, when I'm speaking in Australia, I put up pictures of dinosaurs. The boys and girls know the names just like that. I think they're more intelligent than you. Would you like me to give you a test? Okay, I'm going to put up pictures of dinosaurs and see if you can guess the names just like the Australian boys and girls do. I want to see if you're as intelligent as them. Here we go. What's the name of this one? Wow, that's impressive. Ah, maybe you are as bright as Australian boys and girls. Let me try another one. What's the name of this one? Wow, that's amazing. Everywhere I go, boys and girls know the names of these dinosaurs. I am really impressed. Hey, by the way, that dinosaur is one of my favorites. Not my favorite, it's one of my favorite because it reminds me of some of the students I taught when I was a teacher, because it has a brain no bigger than the size of a walnut. But we won't talk too much about that. What's the name of this one? Brachiosaurus. You know, when Brachiosaurus stood up, his head would have gone right through this roof and raised up probably another 20 feet higher than the roof. But let me see. I tell you what. I wonder if you know what is the name of my very favorite dinosaur. I tell you what we'll do. I'm going to count to three. At the count of three, I want you to think about all the names of the dinosaurs, like Parasaurolophus, Pachycephalosaurus, Struthiomimus, Tanistrevus, Allosaurus, Supersaurus, Brontosaurus, Tyrannosaurus. You got all those names? You know all the names of the dinosaurs? Here, I'm going to count to three, and when I do three, I want you to yell out what you think is my favorite dinosaur, and I'll see if you get it right. Are you ready? Take a deep breath. No noise. Shh. One, two, three. Oh, I heard a number of different names, but the one I heard more than any other was Tyrannosaurus Rex. You know why I like Tyrannosaurus Rex? Not only is he called the King Lizard, but I like him because I really like his teeth. See those teeth? Doesn't that remind you of some of your teachers when they're asking for your homework sometimes? Ah, all right. Well, boys and girls, we'll come back and talk more about T-Rex later on. Everyone quiet again. Shh. And here's the thing. I have boys and girls say, Mr. Ham, wait a minute, but the word dinosaur is not in the Bible. If you're saying God made dinosaurs, how come I don't find the word dinosaur in the Bible? Well, I'll tell you why. It's the same reason you don't find the word iPod or email in the Bible. You know why? Because iPods are a modern invention. Email, that's a modern word. Well, the word dinosaur wasn't invented until the 1800s. In fact, when the King James Bible was translated into English in 1611, there was no word dinosaur. The word dinosaur was made up in 1841. So that's when the word dinosaur was invented. Let's say that date, 1841. When was the word dinosaur first invented? 1841. Okay, let's see if you can say that again. When was the word dinosaur invented? Now, let's see how your memory's going. The next time somebody says millions of years, what's the question we ask? Were you there? Well, a man called Sir Richard Owen in England had found the bones of a number of creatures like Megalosaurus and Iguanodon, and he wanted a name for those creatures, and so he invented the name dinosaur from two Greek words, which means terrible lizard. That's the reason, by the way, that many parents and kids think that all dinosaurs are great big monsters, because the word means terrible lizard. Actually, later on, when lots more skeletons of dinosaurs were found, we found out the average size of a dinosaur is only the size of a sheep. Can you remember that? The average size of a dinosaur is the size of a
sheep.
That's right. Even though some were large, most actually were small, not that big. Well, if the word dinosaur wasn't invented until 1841, and if dinosaurs were created by God and lived beside people, I wonder if some people had a name for dinosaurs before the word dinosaur was invented. Can anyone think of a name that some people might have had for dinosaurs? Oh, dragon. In fact, there's all sorts of dragon legends around the world and dragon carvings around the world, St. George and the Dragon. And you know, many of the carvings of dinosaurs, of dragons, actually look like some of the dinosaurs. And we think that many of the dragon legends of old are what we call dinosaurs. Mums, dads, and teachers, think about this, something you can explain to the students a little later on. And students, you listen to see if you can understand this. Who's heard of flood legends? In other words, stories about a flood on the world that other cultures have, like the American Indians and the Fijians and the Indians and the Eskimos and Australian Aborigines. Do you know why they have those stories about a flood? Because they're all descendants of Noah. They've handed down the stories and changed them, but the real record that hasn't been changed is in the Bible. The fact we have lots of flood legends actually says the Bible is true. Well, there are lots of dragon legends all over the world. You know why I believe that is? Because people had encounters with beasts, animals that they called dragons. And I don't believe they were mythical creatures. I think they were real creatures. You know, the Bible talks about dragons, but the Bible only talks about dragons in the sea. And mums, dads, and teachers, and students, do you know, the word dinosaur only refers to a group of land animals. Some people think that pterodactyls and plesiosaurs are dinosaurs. They're not dinosaurs at all. Some people call them prehistoric monsters. Did you know there are no prehistoric monsters? How can you have prehistoric anything when history began from when it was recorded in Genesis chapter 1 in the Bible? Think about that. See, sometimes in our schools and homeschools, in our textbooks, it'll talk about prehistoric animals. There are no prehistoric animals. You can't have prehistoric anything because history began from when it was recorded. We are so influenced by the world, aren't we, mums and dads and teachers? We really are, and a lot of times we don't even realize it. Well, the Bible does talk about the word dragon, but the word dragon in the Bible refers to sea creatures, like in Isaiah. Oh, that's right, you say Isaiah. Oh, that is wrong. No, you've got to say Isaiah. Can you say Isaiah? Oh, that's much better. I'm sure your teachers will be so thrilled with me teaching you that. Isaiah. That's how we say it in Australia, Isaiah. Well, anyway, notice in Isaiah 27, it talks about Leviathan, who's the dragon in the sea. And then in Psalm 74, it talks about the dragons in the waters. You know, students, there are creatures that once lived on earth. We find their bones, like one's called the great Kronosaurus. We've heard of the plesiosaur. Haven't we heard of the plesiosaur? We've heard of that, haven't we? Well, maybe the plesiosaur, maybe the Kronosaurus are those dragons that lived in the waters. Not only that, in the book of Isaiah, we find that there is a fiery flying serpent. Wow, flying serpents? I wonder what that was. Actually, secular scientists tell us that there were once flying serpents. We find the bones of creatures like the Rhamphorhynchus and the Pteranodon, like the pterodactyl. And so you see, it could be Mums and dads, teachers, think about this. A lot of times we read words like dragons in the sea, flying serpent. We don't think anything about it. But they could be these that we call plesiosaurs, pterodactyls, things like that. The reason we don't often think about that is because we've been brainwashed into thinking of millions of years or that they're prehistoric monsters when there are no prehistoric monsters. You know what else, boys and girls? Some of the dragon legends on Earth talk about fire-breathing dragons. Who's heard of fire-breathing dragons? Well, Mr. Ham, surely you don't believe there were dragons that breathed fire. Actually, I do. The Bible even talks about a dragon in the sea that breathed fire. Its name is Leviathan. Out of his mouth go burning lights, sparks of fire shoot out, his breath kindles coals, a flame goes out of his mouth. You really think there could be an animal that breathed fire? Well, who's heard of the bombardier beetle? Anyone heard of the bombardier beetle? Bombardier beetle is a little beetle. When a frog comes up to eat it, you know what it does? It has these twin cannons in its rear end. And it mixes chemicals together and blasts out hot gases at 212 degrees Fahrenheit. That puts the frog off its lunch. It's almost like a fire-blasting little beetle. Who's seen lightning bugs? Have you seen lightning bugs? Oh, yeah. Lightning bugs that light themselves up. Who's heard of a fish that makes electricity, the electric eel? Well, you think about it for a moment. Boys and girls, this is just a few of these creatures. There's many other really fascinating creatures. But a fish that makes electricity, a little bug that lights itself up, a little beetle that blasts out these hot gases to stop a frog from eating it. So do you think there could have been a fire-breathing dragon? Yes, certainly. I believe there was. In fact, the Bible says there was. It says Leviathan was a fire-breathing dragon. So if you can have little beetles that do all those sorts of things or a fish that makes electricity, you can have a dragon that breathes fire. Well, remember I said to you the average size of a dinosaur was what? The size of a sheep. That's right, the size of a sheep. Well, many dinosaurs were as small as chickens. If they had survived to today, we would have had Kentucky Fried Dinosaur instead of Kentucky Fried Chicken, wouldn't we? In fact, you know what's interesting? Evolutionists, when they eat Kentucky Fried Chicken, they think they're eating dinosaurs because they believe that dinosaurs evolved from birds. I couldn't imagine a dinosaur evolving from a bird. That wouldn't work, would it? That'd be impossible. Boys and girls, birds have special bone structures and special blood flow and so on. There's no way a dinosaur could evolve into a bird. And birds have feathers. Dinosaurs don't have feathers. In fact, if dinosaurs evolved into birds, I'd be worried about my turkey at Thanksgiving, wouldn't you? Well, then boys and girls say, Mr. Ham, now wait a minute. You're saying that Adam and Eve lived beside T-Rex. That's right. Beside T-Rex with all those teeth. That's right. Don't you think Adam would have been a little worried about T-Rex's teeth when T-Rex was considering lunch? And the answer is no. Because now we come, this is the second age of dinosaurs. What was the first age? The first age was formed. And the second age is fearless. We come to this age. See, when God made all the animals and he made Adam and Eve, do you know what it tells us in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1 verse 29? God gave Adam and Eve fruit to eat, and he said the animals were going to eat plants. They were all created to be vegetarian. Now you might say, well, Mr. Ham, wait a minute, I'm not a vegetarian. I ate meat or I ate chicken. Well, after the flood, and we'll talk about that later on, after the flood, God changed our diet. He said, just as I gave you plants now, you can eat the animals, you can eat everything. But originally that wasn't so. Because you know, originally, when God created everything, he said everything was what? Very good. Now, mums and dads, and you can explain this to the kids a little later on, if you believe in millions of years, and if you believe dinosaurs died out millions of years ago, you've got a problem. If you believe the fossils were laid down millions of years before man, then you've got a fossil record with all this death in it. Death before man. And not only that, in the fossil record, there's lots of examples of animals eating each other. For instance, at the Indianapolis Children's Museum, it talks about bones that have bite marks on them in the fossil record. And here's a fossil of an animal that was biting another animal. Now, how could that have happened millions of years before man when God said when he made everything they were all vegetarian? Also, in the fossil record, there's evidence of diseases. This dinosaur had a brain tumor. And in the fossil record, you find evidence of cancer and brain tumors. Do you think God would call brain tumors very good? No, not at all. So you see, how can you believe in millions of years of death and disease and animals eating each other before man? You can't do that. Somehow the fossils had to form after man. See, originally our diet looked like that. Doesn't that look nice? That's because it's from Australia. That's why it looks so nice. So when T-Rex was considering lunch, he was considering fruits and vegetables and things like that. Here he is chomping away on fruits and vegetables. Hey, you know what, boys and girls? I want to show you something here. Because then I had boys and girls say, Mr. Ham, wait a minute. But T-Rex had sharp teeth. He's obviously a meat eater. In fact, at the Indianapolis Children's Museum, they show you a picture of a T-Rex tooth. And they say, here's a meat-eating dinosaur. It had sharp, pointy teeth to bite flesh and crush bones. And so children get the idea, oh, it must have always been a meat-eater. Now, let me see. I think that you're really highly intelligent, boys and girls. I think you know more than the scientists who did this. You listen carefully. Just because an animal has sharp teeth doesn't mean it's a meat-eater. It just means it has... Excellent. That's right. That's all it means. Hey, teachers, mums and dads, some of our textbooks often teach, this is a teeth of a herbivore, this is a teeth of an omnivore, this is a teeth of a carnivore. Wrong way to teach. You know why? Because animals are different today than what they were before sin. We should be looking at teeth in regard to function. These are gnawing teeth, these are biting teeth, these are ripping teeth, those sorts of teeth. And today, animals use teeth for all sorts of things, but originally they used their sharp teeth for what? Eating plants. That's right. And you look there, see T-Rex, he would need sharp teeth. He's going to chomp away on watermelons or potatoes or pumpkins or whatever, wouldn't they? They would need sharp teeth. In fact, here's a skull. Well, look at that skull, and you say, wow, I wonder what that animal ate. Must have been a savage creature. Actually, that's the skull of a giant panda, and they eat mainly what? Bamboo. And you look at this animal and say, wow, what did it eat? Well, it flies around Australia, actually, and it just rips into fruit. It's a fruit bat. What about this monkey from South America? You might look at it and say, what does it eat? Anything it wants. Did you know it's a vegetarian? That's right, it has teeth like that, and yet it's a vegetarian. It eats nuts and fruits. Did you know that most bears are primarily vegetarian? In fact, some bears are almost solely vegetarian. Even a grizzly will eat plants after he hibernates, even chomp away on grass. Here's a polar bear from the SeaWorld exhibit in Australia, and they had a list of all it ate. And notice what they said it ate. Red meat, and then look at everything else. Lettuce and apples and oranges and sweet potato and celery and carrots and grapes and watermelon. And so it goes on. In other words, it also eats a lot of fruit. Here's the point, boys and girls. Originally in the fearless age, nothing was frightened of anything else. The animals all lived happily together. Adam and Eve lived happily with all the animals. They all ate vegetarian, they all ate vegetable material, ate fruit and so on. And you say, well, Mr. Ham, well, wait a minute, things aren't like that today. That's right, because now we come to the third age of dinosaurs. The first age was formed, the second age was fearless, and the third age is fallen. This is the fallen age, because in the fallen age you look around and say, Mr. Ham, today animals eat animals, people eat animals, animals even eat people. And so we ask this question, what happened? Let's ask that question, what happened? Actually, you can ask the same question of your parents. You can go home and ask your parents to show you a photograph of them when they were a teenager. And then you look at them now, and then what's the question you ask them? What happened? Yeah, exactly. All right, I'm getting into trouble here, aren't I? Shh. Everyone nice and quiet. Sit up straight. Take a deep breath. Hands by your side. Shh. Get some oxygen to your brain. We've got to start thinking again here. Okay, shh. Do you know what happened? I'm going to tell you about the saddest day in the history of the universe. Do you know there was no day sadder than this day? When God made Adam, he said, Adam, as a test of obedience, he didn't make Adam to be a puppet. He didn't make Adam so that he would bow down to him and do whatever he told him to do. You know, I've got puppets at home, and you can put a puppet on your hand, and you can make a puppet bow down, you can make a puppet turn around, you can make a puppet do whatever you want it to do. God didn't make Adam like that. He made Adam and Eve, and he wanted them to love him because they wanted to love him. And you know what he said? Adam, as a test of obedience, you can eat of all the trees. There's only one tree you need not to eat of, because if you do, you will surely die. Along came the devil in the form of a serpent, and he came to Eve and he says, Eve, you can take the fruit. And Eve took the fruit, and Adam saw that, so then Adam took the fruit. And boys and girls, here it is, the saddest day in the history of the universe when Adam took the fruit. Do you know what he was really doing? I'm not going to obey God. I'm not going to listen to God's word. I'm going to decide truth for myself. He rebelled against God, and that's called a three-letter word, S-I-N. What's that word? Sin. And boys and girls, because of sin, because God is holy and God is pure and God is perfect, someone who's a sinner can't live with God. We'd be separated from God forever. Adam and Eve knew something was wrong and they tried to cover their sin, but they couldn't cover their own sin. The only way we can get rid of our sin is if God would take our sin away. And you know what God did in the Garden of Eden? Something very special. He actually killed an animal and clothed Adam and Eve. In fact, if you come to the Creation Museum, one of my favorite exhibits, you see Adam and Eve and you see this dead animal there. And I know it looks a little horrible in one sense, but actually it's very special because God clothed Adam and Eve and he shed the blood of the animal. You know what the Bible tells us? Blood represents life. And because Adam rebelled against God, we forfeited our right to live. That's why we die. Now death came into the world. Because of Adam's sin, death came into the world. But right here, God was telling Adam and Eve, now there has to be the shedding of blood to take away your sin. But notice when God shed the blood of an animal and he clothed them, that was only covering them. An animal can't take away our sin because we're not connected to the animals. Remember, we're not just an animal. We're humans made in the image of God. The only one who could take away our sin, we'd need someone who was a human, but who was perfect. Who's the only human, other than Adam before sin, who's the only human that was perfect that could take away our sin? Tell me. Ah, but he wasn't just human, he was the God-man. Do you know what God did? He stepped into history in the person of his Son to become Jesus the God-man, to die on a cross and raise from the dead, and offers us a free gift of salvation. If we trust in him, we can live with him forever. Isn't that special? What God did for us? Do you know that right back there in the Garden of Eden, boys and girls, God was telling Adam and Eve about the Lord Jesus and telling them that one day he was going to send a Savior to save us from our sin. So I want you to remember, what came into the world because of sin? Death. Could you have had dead dinosaurs with diseases and dinosaurs eating other animals millions of years before Adam sinned? No. So you can imagine headlines in the Garden of Eden. Adam sins, the world's in chaos. Adam sinned, everything changed. In Romans 8, Paul says, the whole of creation groans. In fact, Adam and Eve were thrown out of the Garden of Eden so they couldn't eat of the tree of life, and there were angels sent to guard the way back. Everything changed. The Bible says now thorns came into existence. In fact, here's Adam, and you can see now he's standing on a thorn. Everything's changed. It's a whole different world now. You know, boys and girls, there are thorns in the fossil record. And evolutionists tell us those thorns are hundreds of millions of years old, hundreds of millions of years before Adam sinned. Wait a minute. The Bible says thorns came after sin or before. What's the Bible tell us? After. Could you have had thorns millions of years before Adam sinned? No. So the fossil record had to come after sin. Aha, I wonder what formed the fossil record. I wonder what caused there to be billions of dead things all over the earth, buried in layers of mud. I wonder what did that. We're going to find out as we go on here. Well, Adam now had to get out and earn his food and the sweat of his brow. Everything changed. Animals started eating each other. Maybe the dinosaurs had a turkey roast or something like that. And death and bloodshed was in the world in a big way. Boys and girls, it was a whole different world. Well, Adam and Eve had sons and daughters, and you know how bad sin is? In the first generation of children, Cain killed his brother Abel, the world's first terrorist, the world's first murderer. And then it got worse from there. And by the time of a man called Noah, the whole world had rebelled so much, God said, enough. Noah, I'm going to judge this world with a flood. And I want you to build a great big boat called an ark. And God gave the dimensions of the ark. It was going to be about 500 feet long and about 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. It was an enormous, enormous boat to get ready for, and here it is, boys and girls, the next age of dinosaurs called the flood. Okay, what was the first age? Formed. The second age? Fearless. The third age? Fallen. And the fourth age? Flood. You're doing very good. Very good. And so God said, Noah, I want you to build this great big boat so it'll survive the flood. And here's what God said to Noah. Noah, I'm going to send to you. Actually, Noah didn't have to go out and find them. I'm going to send to you two of every kind, seven of some, but two of every kind of land-dwelling, air-breathing animal to go on the ark. Did you hear that? Tell what, I'm going to give you a test. Everyone sit up straight. Put your hands by your side. Take a deep breath. Everyone nice and quiet. Shh. Now, I want you to listen carefully because I think I can trick you all. Do you think I can trick you all?
No.
I think I can. Okay, you've got to listen carefully. Here we go. God said to Noah, I'm going to send to you two of every kind of land, dwelling, air, breathing animal to go on the ark. You got that? Let me say it one more time. Two of every kind of land, dwelling, air, breathing animal to go on the ark. Okay, you got that?
Yeah.
All right. Nice and quiet. Who agrees that elephants went on the ark? Oh, what a... That was pathetic. That was really pathetic. It really was. That was... Man, you people are so slow. I tell you what, I'm going to pretend I never asked that question. I'm going to do it all over again. Who agreed that elephants went on the ark?
Yeah.
Oh, you're still so slow. This is terrible. What is wrong with you people? It must be Philadelphia air or something. Okay, let me try one more time. I'll pretend I haven't asked those questions yet. Who agrees that elephants went on the ark? Oh, that's much better. Now you're waking up. Okay, you ready? Here we go. Who agree that elephants went on the ark? Who agree that giraffes went on the ark? Who agree that horses went on the ark? Who agree that dogs went on the ark? Who agree that fish went on the ark? Ha ha, see? I knew I could trick you. Does a fish sound like this? It's a land-dwelling, air-breathing animal. No. Noah didn't have to take fish on the ark. He didn't need an aquarium on the ark. He sailed in an aquarium. Dear, oh dear, oh dear. Think I can trick you again? Okay, here we go. We're going to try. Okay, see if I can trick you again. Who agree that bears went on the ark? Who agree that cats went on the ark? Who agree that the blue whale went on the ark? Oh, okay. Ah, we're getting better. Okay, I can trick you this time. This time I can really trick you. Here we go. You ready on this one? Here we go. Sit up straight again. Okay. Who agree that kangaroos went on the ark? Who agree that wombats went on the ark? Who agree that koalas went on the ark? Who agree that dinosaurs went on the ark? Oh. Who think dinosaurs went on the ark? Who thinks dinosaurs didn't go on the ark? Who doesn't know if dinosaurs went on the ark? Who'd like to know if dinosaurs went on the ark? Who put their hand up 6 times? How could you when you only had 5 questions? Dear, oh dear. All right, boys and girls, everyone watch the front here. Did God send two of every kind of land animal? Were dinosaurs land animals? Was it every kind of land animal? Were dinosaurs land animals? Was it every kind of land animal? Were dinosaurs land animals? Was it every kind of land animal? Were dinosaurs land animals? Was it every kind of land animal? Were dinosaurs land animals? Did dinosaurs go on the ark? Of course they went on the ark. Of course I have some people say, Mr. Ham, they couldn't fit. But remember, the average size of a dinosaur was the size of a sheep. Many dinosaurs were as small as chickens. Now, it's true that some of the dinosaurs were very big, like your big sauropods. But boys and girls, most dinosaurs were not that big. We get the idea they're all big monsters. They weren't all big monsters. And in fact, dinosaurs laid eggs, and the biggest egg we found is really not that much bigger than a football. And even a sauropod hatched out of an egg about that size. In fact, we have some very, very exquisite dinosaur eggs at the Creation Museum. And this one here is the egg of a T-Rex. You might say, how did God fit a T-Rex in that egg? Well, it was only a little baby T-Rex. Even a stegosaur, when it hatched out of an egg, wasn't that big. And some dinosaurs, when they hatched out of eggs, were the size of mice, and they're called mosasaurs. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong. I don't think that God would have sent babies on the ark. But, you know, most dinosaurs weren't big anyway. And for the ones that grew very big, I think he would send young adults. But actually, boys and girls, the ark was so big, there was even room for the big ones, if we really want it that way. And I want to show you this. Here's Buddy Davis. Buddy is our singer and dinosaur sculptor, and sometimes he does those programs with me. And he's holding 2 eggs. They're the eggs of a crocodile. And there he is holding a baby crocodile. But you know what? Buddy refused to hold an adult crocodile because he mightn't have an arm left if he held an adult crocodile. See, I want you to think about this for a moment. Do you realize even a sauropod dinosaur started as a little egg? And so, you know, God could have sent young adults on the ark, but the point is all dinosaurs weren't big. Even a T-Rex, when he has to have an egg, could have perched on your shoulder for a while. And then boys and girls say, Mr. Ham, wait a minute. I've read a dinosaur book and there are over 600 names of dinosaurs. Are you saying there are 600 types of dinosaurs when on the ark? No. In fact, for the mums, dads and teachers, you know when we learn classification, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species? Well, the kind in Genesis is probably more a family level of classification. Do you know how many families of dinosaurs there are? There's only 50. Do you know how many families of dogs? There's only one family of dogs. And boys and girls, there's only one kind of dog, and it's called dog, by the way, just so you know. And we have lots of different names for dogs, different species, dingoes and wolves and coyotes and jackal and fennet and foxes and so on, all our different species. But do you know how many dogs Noah needed on the ark? He needed only two. Do you know how many elephants he needed on the ark? He needed only two, because there's only one kind of elephant, and it's called elephant. Do you know how many cats he needed on the ark? Only two. You know, we live near the Cincinnati Zoo, and they have a wonderful display of cats. And you walk in there and you see, oh, that's a little cat, and that's a medium-sized cat, and that's a big cat, and that's a fat cat, and that's a skinny cat. And you know what my grandkids say to me? Oh, it looks like, they all look like cats. That's right. It's just like dogs. You say, well, here's a big dog and a little dog and a tiny dog and a middle-sized dog. Boys and girls, Noah didn't need anywhere near the number of animals on the ark that we think. When it came to dinosaurs, there's not one type of dinosaur. With dogs, there's only one type of dog, and different species, but one type. There's only one family of elephant, probably, and then one family of cats. With dinosaurs, there's about 50 families. In fact, there's one family that has the Triceratops-type dinosaurs in it. We give lots of different names to the variations in that. There's one family that has the sauropod dinosaurs in it. And we have the Ultrasaurus and the Seismosaurus and the Brachiosaurus. In actual fact, probably about 50 kinds of dinosaurs existed, which means 100 dinosaurs to go on the ark. Probably as few as 8,000 animals or less on Noah's ark. Actually, there was so much room, there could have been one entire floor at least, totally empty. I wonder what Noah did with that. Actually, you know why I think Noah built such a big ark? I think God wanted Noah to build a big ark because there was room for more people. But boys and girls, sad thing is we learned that only 8 people went on board. Well, here's the dinosaurs going to the ark, and they go up the ramp through the doorway inside, and here they are. Here's a stegosaur in one of the cages in there. Oh, you know one of the things that really drives me crazy? I find children's books that have Noah's ark looking like this. Who's seen Noah's Ark looking like that? Oh, that pains me. Boys and girls, did Noah's Ark look like that? No, Noah's Ark, that makes it look out to be a fairy tale. Do you think Noah could fit all the animals on that boat? Could he fit them on this one? Would this one survive the flood? Would this one survive the flood? Oh, yeah, Noah's Ark looked more like this. Wow, a real boat floating in the... Can you imagine what it must have been like? And you know, boys and girls, I was thinking about this. Do you know, God had Noah build such a big boat that he didn't even need it that big. I wonder why. And you know what the Bible tells us? When the animals went on board the ark, and here the animals going on board the ark, and here they are there, there's Noah standing there watching the animals going on board. And then Noah's family went on board. There were 8 of them all together. Noah and his wife and his 3 sons and their wives went on board. And then, you know, the Bible tells us that the ark then stood there for 7 days. 7 days before the flood came. Do you know what I think was happening? I think Noah was out there saying, Mums and dads and boys and girls, God's word is true. There's a flood coming. You need to get on board the ark. Come on, there's plenty of room. Come through the doorway to be saved. And the mums and dads and boys and girls, silly old Noah, God's word's not true. We're not going to believe that. So Noah went inside. And then you know what happened? The Bible tells us God shut the door. And you can imagine the people outside the ark saying, what happened? The door shut. What's going to happen now? And then suddenly the flood waters start to break up from underneath and overhead, and the waters start to pour over the earth. And people, only those on Noah's ark were to be saved. And by the way, if there really was a global flood, we'd expect to see evidence all over the world, and we do. The layers of rock with the fossils. But you know something else, boys and girls? You know how God was telling Adam and Eve? You know how God told Adam and Eve about the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Eden when he killed an animal and clothed them to promise them a Savior was coming? Oh, do you realize something? Noah's Ark is another picture of salvation. You see, Noah and his family had to go through a doorway to be saved. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he stepped into history to be a man, to die on a cross, do you know what he said? He said, "I am the door. If anyone enters in by me, he will be saved." Do you realize that Jesus is our ark of salvation? And just as Noah had to go through a doorway to be saved, we need to go through a doorway, the Lord Jesus. You know what I pray? That every mum, dad, and boy and girl in this room can say, "I'm in the ark of salvation. I put my trust in the Lord Jesus." Because one day, there's going to be another judgment, not by water next time, by what? Fire. And only those in the ark of salvation will be saved for eternity to live with the Lord Jesus. Don't you want to live with the Lord Jesus forever? Absolutely. Hey, by the way, boys and girls, if you don't know that you're in the ark of salvation, you make sure before you leave this morning, you say to your teacher or your parent, "I want to pray and tell the Lord Jesus, I want to be in the ark of salvation and I want him to be my savior." You make sure that you do that. Well, then the floodwaters came. And then only those animals and people in the ark were saved. Those outside drowned. They were turned into fossils. In fact, if there was a global flood, you'd expect to find billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. You know what we find? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. You think you can say that? Let's say it together. You follow me. Billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. Okay. Boys and girls, if there really was a global flood, what would you expect to find? You're starting to sound like a group of chickens again. Okay, one more time. If there really was a global flood, you'd expect to find billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. Okay, I want you to learn it quickly. I want to see how good you are because I'm going to turn the screen off and I'm going to see if you can say it without seeing the words on the screen. Okay, quickly, just learn the words. Billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water over the earth. Okay, you got that? If there was a global flood, you find billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water over the earth. You got it? You sure? Okay. Well, let's see. If there really was a global flood, you'd expect to find? Oh, that's pretty good, actually. That's not bad. And that's what you find. Billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. Hey, if you believe in millions of years, all those dead things were laid down millions of years before Adam sinned. But the Bible says what came into the world because of sin? Death. So could all the fossils have been laid down millions of years before Adam sinned? No. They had to come after the flood. Then I have boys and girls say, "But Mr. Ham, doesn't it take millions of years to make a fossil?" No, it doesn't. Would you like to see my favorite fossil? Oh, what a oh, you people are so... Okay, shh. Everyone quiet. I'm going to pretend I never asked that question. We're going to start all over again. Boys and girls, would you like to see my favorite fossil? You know what? I don't know what it is. It must be the stage up here, but I could hardly hear anything. You didn't sound that enthusiastic. We're going to have to try it one more time. Okay. Boys and girls, would you like to see my favorite fossil? Oh, okay. Now I get it. Now you really are excited. Well, that's really good. Everyone nice and quiet. Shh. See, mums and dads and teachers, just a good ploy to use up energy. Okay. So, I'm going to show you my favorite fossil. You know what? It's a little frightening. You have to ask your parent or teacher if you're allowed to use something, see something frightening. But let me ask you a question. How many of you saw Jurassic Park or Lost World or... Oh, well then you're okay. Okay. All right. Here we go. You ready? Got to be nice and quiet. You know what? I don't think I should show it to you. You really think I should? All right. Everyone quiet. Here we go. I don't think I should. I. All right. Okay. You've convinced me. Everyone nice and quiet. You've convinced me, so we'll show you. Here we go. I know it's frightening. I'm sorry to do this to you. Okay, were you frightened? All right, everyone quiet. Shh. You know what, boys and girls? You mightn't be frightened by that, but I think evolutionists are, and I'll tell you why. That's a fossil hat. And you know what that tells us? It doesn't take long to make a fossil, because a miner left that hat when it was a soft hat in a mine, and 50 years later in Australia, when they dug it out, it changed into a hard hat. It was now a petrified hat. Does it take millions of years to petrify something? No, not at all. Well, the Bible tells us that Noah's ark landed, and if the dinosaurs were on the ark, they came out of the ark after the flood, didn't they? And all lined up to have their photographs taken. And like typical Americans, they sold T-shirts, "I survived the flood." And then you know what started to happen? The animals started to move out over the earth. And then I have boys and girls say, "Well, Mr. Ham, wait a minute. Is there anything in the Bible, anything in the Bible at all, that tells us about dinosaurs after the flood?" Actually, here's the interesting thing, boys and girls. I think there's a dinosaur described in the Bible in more detail than probably any other animal in the whole Bible. I really do. Let me show you. In the book of Job, chapter 40, verse 15, let's say that. Job, chapter 40, verse 15. Let's say it again. Job, chapter 40, verse 15. One more time. Job, chapter 40, verse 15. God says, "Job, look at Behemoth." Can you say Behemoth? That means a large animal on four legs. Everything about him is big. His strength in his loins, his muscles are big, and his bones of his legs and so on are like iron and brass. And the Bible even says he's the chief of the ways of God. You know what that seems to tell us? The largest land animal that God ever made. Wow. And he moves his tail like a big cedar tree. Well, you know what, boys and girls? Wait till you see this. I know this will make a lot of sense to you. There's Bible commentaries and notes in Bibles that say it was possibly a hippopotamus or an elephant. Does that make sense? Well, let's see. Let me see. The largest land animal God made, moves his tail like a cedar. Everything about him is big and strong, and particularly moves his tail like a cedar, possibly a hippopotamus or an elephant. Okay, you ready? Behold, Behemoth. Okay. Behold, Behemoth. Behemoth? Could this be Behemoth? How about this one? Does that have a tail like a cedar? Do you know, I spent all day at the zoo one day getting photographs of the rear end of elephants just to have a look at their tails. People thought I was crazy. Okay, that can't be Behemoth. Okay, must be a hippopotamus then. Behold, Behemoth. You don't think that's Behemoth? Okay. Well, let's think about it for a moment. Here's a tail. I had our artist draw a tail. I said, "Draw a tail like a nice big cedar tree." Okay, there it is. Let's see. Behold, Behemoth. No. Behold, Behemoth. Okay, behold, Behemoth. Right. You know, we don't know for sure, but you know what I think Behemoth might have been? A dinosaur. A sauropod dinosaur. I don't think it was an elephant or a hippopotamus. That doesn't make sense. No, I think it was a dinosaur, like a big sauropod, living beside Job after the flood. Wow. Hey, you know what, boys and girls? I want you to read a quote from an evolutionist who believes dinosaurs died out millions of years before people. Here's what he said. There is a petroglyph, and a petroglyph is an Indian carving. It's in National Bridges National Monument. That's in Utah. That looks like a dinosaur. Well, we sent some researchers out there, and you can see there's the carving up on the left, and we enhanced it a little bit for you to make it easier to see. In fact, here's one of the researchers to show you the size of it. He's got a wax cloth. Boys and girls, what does that look like? A dinosaur. Even the evolutionists say it looks like a dinosaur. By the way, do you know what the park rangers say? Well, dinosaurs didn't live with people. You know the question we would ask? Were you there? That's right. Were you there? In fact, there are other carvings like that in Utah, like this one. Does that look like a dinosaur? And this one here is in Black Dragon Canyon. It's a painting of a flying creature the Indians did. Has big wings. It has a crest on its head. It has webbed feet. They didn't draw it with feathers like the top picture. They drew it like the bottom one, which reminds me of what? A pterodactyl. Yes, a pterodactyl. And then you know what, boys and girls? In Colorado, just a couple of years ago, secular scientists found in a T-Rex bone that they thought was 65 million years old, they found red blood cells, and they found tissue with the blood vessels. And you know what they said? How could these have lasted millions of years? Do you know what we said? Good question. So do you know what we said? It's not 65 million years old. Do you know what they said? Well, it must be 65 million years old because evolution's true. There just has to be another explanation and we don't know what it is. You know what, boys and girls? That tells us that they can't be 65 million years old. Well, did you see a sign like this on the way to the auditorium? Did you encounter an animal like this trying to cross the road? No. As far as we know, dinosaurs are extinct today. So we come to the next age of dinosaurs. The next age is faded. Let's see if you can remember the ages. I want to see how good you are. And I'll see if you can say them without me saying them, okay? Age number one? Form. Very good. Age number two?
Fearless.
Excellent. Fearless. Age number three?
Fallen.
Great. You're doing great. Age number four? Flood. Age number five?
Faded.
What happened to the dinosaurs? Well, you know, evolutionists have over 100 theories as to what happened to them. Some think they died of indigestion. Maybe they ate a hamburger. Some think they died of overeating. Like some of us if we're not careful, right? Some think they went on one of those diets you see on TV and died of starvation. Some think they got hit by an asteroid and that wiped them out. Actually, you know what? Evolutionists have all these different theories. They don't know what happened to the dinosaurs. We don't know. Could have been catastrophes. It could have been the Ice Age. But actually, boys and girls, listen carefully. You can go out there and tell everyone, I know what happened to the dinosaurs. I'm going to tell you what happened to the dinosaurs. You ready? Here's what happened to the dinosaurs. You can say to people, I know. They died. So let me ask you. Let's see, this is a very serious question. Boys and girls, what happened to the dinosaurs? Oh, excellent. We know what happened to the dinosaurs. Actually, you know what? There's really no mystery. Who's heard of endangered species programs? Oh, well, we have a zoo near us and they have an endangered species program. And if you were to call up the zookeeper and say, excuse me, why do you have an endangered species program? You know what they'd say? Because lots of animals are dying out every year. Look at the long list of animals that have died out. Oh, so lots of animals have died out? Oh, a lot of animals have died out. Like the dodo bird became extinct and the carrier pigeon became extinct. And there's all these other animals that have become extinct. Oh, so why do animals become extinct? Why? Everyone knows why animals become extinct. Maybe clearing land, climate change, maybe catastrophes, diseases, eating each other. There's lots of reasons why animals become extinct. Oh, okay. Does everyone know that? Oh, of course, it's so obvious why animals become extinct. Oh, what happened to the dinosaurs? Oh, we don't know. Boys and girls, do you know what happened to the dinosaurs? They died. They were created in a perfect world. Then sin entered the world. Now there's death. They went on board Noah's Ark. Came off the ark. The fossils we find are those from the flood, which was about 4,300 years ago. And like lots of animals, as they spread out over the earth after the flood, because now it's a fallen world because of all the changes, because of sin and the curse, lots of animals died out and the dinosaurs died out. It's not a mystery. And now we come to the sixth age of dinosaurs. What is it? Found. Let's see if we can get them. First age of dinosaurs was? Form. Second age was? Fearless. Third age was? Fallen. Fourth age was? Flood. Fifth age is? Faded. Sixth age is? Found. When were dinosaurs discovered? Well, do you know we found dinosaurs, dinosaur bones, in the 1800s, the early 1800s, and people say, oh, that's when we discovered dinosaurs. Now, let me teach you how to think properly here. That's not when we discovered dinosaurs. Not in the 1800s. You know when we discovered what we should be saying? That's when we rediscovered dinosaurs. Right? Who was the first one to discover a dinosaur ever? Adam. Exactly right. And then we rediscovered dinosaurs in the 1800s. But you know what? Because many dinosaurs are small, do you think it's possible a dinosaur could still be living somewhere today? Yeah, I think that's possible. Now, we don't know for sure, but it is possible in the Congo or somewhere like that, the Amazon. Who knows? Almost every year, scientists find an animal or plant they think became extinct millions of years ago and they suddenly find it living today. Let me give you an example. Here is a special tree. It's called the Wallamai pine tree. Scientists thought that it became extinct with the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. And you know what happened, boys and girls? They found them living off or on the east coast of Australia, just west of Sydney in the Blue Mountains. And that was a shock to them. And in fact, they now grow them, and you can buy them in nurseries. And this is one I saw over in England, actually, where they were growing them. And they had this sign on it. They said this: the discovery of the Wallamai pine is the equivalent of finding a small dinosaur alive on Earth. Now, mums and dads and teachers, I want to teach you something here. And boys and girls, I want you to listen very carefully, because this is hard to grasp, but I want you to listen. Evolutionists laugh at us and mock at us for believing dinosaurs live with people. That's so stupid, they say. We know dinosaurs could never live with people. That's silly to even think that. Okay, think about this. If you're an evolutionist, you believe that dinosaurs became extinct 65 million years ago. And then people lived 65 million years later and people never lived with dinosaurs. It's impossible, they say. But wait a minute. The Wallamai pine tree, they say, lived with dinosaurs 65 million years ago, and yet it lives today with people. So why is it so silly, even from an evolutionist, to say that dinosaurs couldn't live with people? Let me give you another example. In Australia, at a park, they have crocodiles. And notice what it says there. I am a survivor and have been around since before the dinosaurs. Here's what evolutionists believe. They believe that, see this sign? The crocodile body has not changed in over 240 million years. It forgot to evolve. It's even older than the dinosaurs. Here's what the evolutionists believe. Crocodiles evolved 240 million years ago. 200 million years ago, dinosaurs evolved. Dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. It's stupid to think that people live with dinosaurs. Wait a minute, boys and girls, evolutionists think crocodiles came before dinosaurs and they still live today. So is it so silly to think that dinosaurs live with people? Not at all. And of course, we don't believe in millions of years. It doesn't make any sense. In fact, we come to the next age of dinosaurs, the last age. What was the last age? Fiction. Let's run through those seven ages real quickly. First age was form. Second age was fearless. Third age was fallen. Fourth age was flood. Fifth age was faded. Sixth age was found. Seventh age is fiction. At the Indianapolis Children's Museum, this is said to be the most popular and the best children's museum in the whole of America. When you go to the dinosaur exhibit, you know what it says? Millions of years, 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 millions of years. All these boys and girls that go there, all they see is millions of years, millions of years, millions of years. By the way, boys and girls, what question would you ask them? Were you there? And millions, and they're indoctrinated in millions of years. And boys and girls, do you know what we call that? Fiction. What does fiction mean? Not true. Exactly. Do you know I have a special name for dinosaurs? Do you know what I call dinosaurs? I call them missionary lizards. Can you remember that? What do we call dinosaurs? And you know why? Because they help us tell people about the Lord Jesus. Here's a dinosaur bone. When I looked at that bone, do you know what I said? I think that bone is dead. Do you agree? And then when you look at that bone using the Bible, you learn that death came into the world because of sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is? Because Adam sinned and he was our great-great-great-great-granddaddy. And what he did, we did because we come from Adam. Because of Adam's sin, we die. But because we're sinners, we'd be separated from God forever. But you know what God said? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart God has raised him from the dead, we will be what? Saved. Boys and girls, I pray that every one of you can say that you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus, that you're in that ark of salvation. Wow. Isn't that an important message? Hey, you know what? You need to go out there and tell all the other boys and girls. I know all about dinosaurs. And I can tell you, it's the Bible that explains dinosaurs. And they're not a mystery because the Bible is the history book of the universe. What sort of book is it? Exactly. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want to talk to mums and dads and teachers just for a minute and tell them about some of our resources to help them. And while I do that, I want you to be nice and quiet. And then we're going to give you a test. And then I'm going to grade you and give you an A or a B or a C or an F. Okay? Everyone nice and quiet. Shh. Okay, close. Take a deep breath, first of all. Put your hands by your side. Everyone, now close your mouths and be nice and quiet. I just want to talk to the mums and dads very briefly. Mums and dads and teachers, a lot of the materials I used in this can be found in what's called some of our children's materials. A is for Adam, D is for dinosaur. I use some of those pictures. Those three books there, my children's Bible, they're all books that chronologically go through the Bible. You notice how what I presented was chronological, starting at the beginning, walking through. That's what we do at the Creation Museum. That's what many children don't understand. That's why they don't know what to do with the things we see out there. But when you teach them that history and you hang everything on that history, it makes a big difference. Those three books did that. We have a DVD set there, two DVDs, Dinosaurs, Genesis, and the Gospel. Me and Buddy Davis doing a very similar presentation to what I did this morning. And you can get that as a whole set, or you can get them individually. The seven ages of dinosaurs, formed, fearless, fallen, flood, and so on, that's what this book is based on. And that, actually, it's sort of middle school upwards. It's good for mums and dads as well, but even little kids like the pictures that are in it. It tells you all about the different sorts of dinosaurs as well. Other videos we have, Buddy Davis doing one on the 6 days with a robotic dinosaur, and this one here called Jurassic Ark Mystery, all about dinosaurs. This is about the six days, and they won awards, actually. They're so well done. And then we have a book dealing with fossils, and then we have kids' answers books. These are middle school upwards, but they're good for mums and dads as well. Questions from real kids, as you look in them, real kids that send us questions. You know, if I'm a Christian, why do we still get sick? And why do we still die? And who made God? And where did God come from? And what about the dinosaurs? And all those sorts of questions with simple answers. And so we put all those together in one set, and we have out there what's called our Kids Answer Library Pack. And that's really a cream of the crop for kindergarten through middle school, in other words, elementary ages. Now, for teens and adults, for the rest of those, we also have what's called our Teen Adult Library Pack, the cream of the crop, and we put those in the Teen Adult Library Pack. And if you want an instant library for your home, that for kindergarten right up through high school, those two packs there actually give you that. And if you get those, we'll give you a whole set of the videos used through the Creation Museum. They're incredible videos, 40 of them. And we'll give those to you free, including a 20-minute presentation of the gospel. That's very, very powerful. We also have our answers books. Mums and dads, the very minimum, and teachers, you need are the three answers books. You can get them together. That's 100 of the most asked questions about the Bible, creation, evolution, very pertinent to today's world, answered. And then we have answers DVDs, 1 and 2. We'll have 3 out very soon. You can get those as a set. The Kids Answers books you can get as a set. We've only got a few of those left out there. But you can get the entire Answers pack, all the Answers materials in one set. Now, as well as that, I wanted to mention you can get the DVDs on special out there. And I encourage every homeschool and every Christian school, if you can do one thing, I encourage you all to get Answers magazine. Nothing like it. It's for the whole family and it's for every grade. Because not only is it an apologetics magazine for teens and adults, and I'd say 10, 11-year-old upwards, we even have a mini magazine for kids in the middle. And if you subscribe, we give you a free DVD for each year you subscribe. And then you get our newsletter. You can sign up for the newsletter out there. As of July 1, every week, you'll get a free digital download, a poster or something like that. It's a phenomenal offer for you. And then I just want to mention a couple of other things. I know we're a little low on some of the numbers out there, but we do have some special curricula. For teens and adults, we have the Demolishing Strongholds, very dynamic. It's a Christian creation worldview, 12 videos, teaching set, and then the Answers Academy is very in-depth, creation apologetics with geology, biology, and so on. And then For we have other materials out there, but for this age group, we have a few of these left out there. It's called our It All Begins With Genesis series, and that's for middle school. It's a whole year study on Genesis. This curriculum here, and there's, you'll notice in the back, there's pockets and there's all sorts of things in there. It's basically teaching you the whole contents of the Creation Museum. You can go through it with your kids, and you and the kids will learn the Creation Museum material. Answers for Kids, it's actually one book. It has color handouts at the back that you can rip out. And this is for ages 7 through 12, and it's an apologetics course teaching you how do we know the Bible's true, where did the Bible come from, the creation evolution questions, dinosaur questions, the seven C's of creation, walking you through that history. It's absolutely phenomenal. And then some of you might be interested that we have an entire elementary, middle school into junior high science curriculum that is totally creationist. It's very unique. And we also have a creation-based history curriculum. A lot of history curricula, we think, you know, our history, well, you know, that wouldn't have much evolution in it. You'd be surprised when it talks about prehistory and has all the dates that would go beyond the flood. How many times do we read Egyptian chronology saying the pyramids were built more than 4,300 years ago? But the flood was 4,300 years ago. The pyramids had to come after the flood. We often teach our kids a lot of the wrong stuff because we have the wrong curricula. I encourage you to get the right sort of curriculum. We even have a preschool curricula as well. That's creationist that you can see there. And some of you might be interested for your churches. Our VBS program is absolutely incredible. The one this year is on the sanctity of life, and it's called Egypt File. And more churches are finding, wow, this is not just fluff. This is biblical authority, apologetics, very gospel-oriented, and we've had tremendous interest in our VBS materials. Well, boys and girls, okay, I'm going to give you that little test. Let's go through the seven ages of dinosaurs. First age, second age, third age, fourth age, fifth age, sixth age, seventh age. Excellent. I have to give you an A for that. All right. That's very good. All right. Let's try the next one. Okay. The next series of questions. When somebody says millions of years ago, what do you ask them? Did dinosaurs go on the ark? Did they come off the ark? What's the average size of a dinosaur? What happened to the dinosaurs? What did dinosaurs eat before sin? Okay. If there really was a global flood, what would you expect to find? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the earth. Could there be a dinosaur described in the Bible? Yes. Which book? Chapter. Verse. What was its name? Had a tail like what? When was the word dinosaur first invented? What might dinosaurs have been called before they were called dinosaurs? Oh, you did very good. I have a special name for dinosaurs. What do I call them? Missionary lizards. Well, I guess I'll have to give you an A for all of that too. All right. Well, boys and girls, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. So everyone, close your eyes. We're going to pray and then sit very quietly as your teachers and others dismiss you, okay? And then if you're nice and quiet and orderly, as you leave, you'll be given those cards. And the Christian school students from school here, your teachers will give them to you in class. And I'll hand over to the principal here straight after I pray. Okay. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day and thank you that we can learn so much about your word and about dinosaurs and that there's no mystery and most of all to learn about the Lord Jesus and who we are and what our problem is of sin and the solution you gave us in sending your son to die for us on a cross and be raised from the dead. And Lord, we pray that every boy and girl can say right now that they're in the ark of salvation. And Lord, we just commit the rest of this day to you. We keep us safe for those of us who are traveling back to our homes and schools. And watch over us, help us in all the work that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.